Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome to our final segment here on Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. My third in-studio guest, this is a treat for me today, Hilde Gottlieb from Creating the Future. Welcome to the show, Hilde.
It's great to be here, Zara. Thank you.
You bet. And she's a natural, folks, podcast, radio, so I know I'm going to learn and take notes from her. Hilde has been called the most innovative and practical thinker in the nonprofit community benefit sector. In fact, her book, The Pollyanna Principles, Reinventing Nonprofit Organizations to Create the Future of Our World, details a groundbreaking approach to aiming the work of the community benefits sector to its highest potential. Hilde currently hosts the monthly podcast Making Change, interviewing change leaders from around the world. Recipient of the Points of Light citation from President Bill Clinton, Hilde is a prolific writer, advocate, and consultant to community organizations since 1993. She helped develop a master's program in community leadership, where she and her partner Dimitri Petropoulos have taught as professors. Hilde's workbooks, in fact, have become industry standards and are used as texts in both undergraduate and graduate programs around the globe. Hilde's career journey has included working in real estate development, assisting Western Native American tribes with non-gaming businesses and economic development, being a legislative aide to Tucson City Council member, and she developed the Family Home Gardening Program at an institution here to ensure that low-income families had fresh produce by teaching them to grow that produce themselves. And along with her colleagues, she founded the world's first diaper bank, as well as the diaper banking movement here in the United States. So you're living the future right now.
We are all living the future right
Indeed,
now.
Indeed, but some more than others as we try to grapple with all the changes that are hitting us.
Absolutely.
Let me start with a question. This whole use of the word nonprofit, I happen to think, has a stigma that just doesn't make sense in this day and age.
Well, it doesn't make sense to anything or anybody. When I meet you, I don't immediately look at what you're not. And
right.
I don't define you by what you're not. And what we've done in this sector is we've compared ourselves or been compared to. I'm not sure where the roots of the word are. Mm-hmm. But by using it and continuing to use it about describing ourselves, we're talking about what we're not.
Mm-hmm.
We're not, you know, I sort of joke sometimes that say that when we say we're nonprofit, it says we have no money.
Right.
What we're really about is community benefit. Mm-hmm. What we provide to our communities is significant benefit. And when folks see themselves as community benefit organizations rather than nonprofits,
right.
You can see them sit up in their seats and feel really good about the work that they're doing.
Well, I was also going to use the word I also use is social innovation. You know, and I know that word takes a whole new term because it's almost really becoming more contemporary in the literature and the like,
mm-hmm.
but it's that
mm-hmm.
idea indeed of community benefit.
Yeah.
Well, your book, The Pollyanna Principles, a fabulous piece, absolutely practitioner driven. Was it the result of you being called to write the book, so to speak, or was it a logical outgrowth of some other thing that was going on?
Probably all of the above.
Yeah.
What our trajectory has been is that we, as you mentioned in the beautiful intro, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
We have such eclectic pasts, my business partner and I. We both have very strong community organizing backgrounds, very strong political backgrounds, and very strong for-profit business backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
We had made the decision to change our lives to really benefit the world and said we're going to take all of our skills and become consultants to what we then called nonprofit organizations, right. to community benefit organizations. And through that, we want to know that at the end of the day, the world is a better place than when we started.
So you're personally going for the big game through helping other leaders that are playing the big game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And many consultants do that. Many folks come out of
Absolutely.
The business world and say, you know, I want my life to have meaning. We sort of joke that it was either change our lives or buy a red Corvette. And so,
I like that one. In fact,
you could do both.
You can do both.
You
yeah.
can do both. Well, one of the things that happened is after 5 years of consulting, pretty much the way everyone does, we did strategic planning the way it's done. We did governance the way it's done. We did resource development the way it's done. What we found was that we were supposedly at the top of our game. Everybody loved us. We were getting referrals. We were doing everything that consultants are supposed to be doing. But the world wasn't changing.
Mm. Okay. So you didn't feel the outcomes coming down the pike as much as you had hoped?
What we felt was a smack in the head. Okay. What we felt was, we're doing work that everyone thinks is phenomenal, but if you're doing a strategic plan for a food bank, and they're going to implement that plan, and they think it is the most visionary plan they've ever had, and the community's not going to be any closer to being an equitable, just place to live and end hunger, then are you really making a difference? And mm-hmm. So that was the question that drove our work. It's the question that drove writing the Pollyanna Principles is sort of the culmination of that work. But what we spent years doing, what we spent 5 years doing, was pulling apart all of the systems within the community benefit sector and saying, if strategic planning, if governance, if resource development, if the way funders fund programs, if the way we look at community change is not changing communities, then let's change these structures so that they do. And the result, the Pollyanna Principles, is a bringing together when we looked back over the changes we had created, looked back to see that, wow, when we realign planning to aim at what we really want, when we realign governance to aim boards at what they really, why they joined the board in the first place, mm-hmm. to create that change happens very, very quickly. And the principles are what we learned in looking back to say, wow, okay, now we know what works. Let's figure out why. And what we found were that the six principles in the Pollyanna Principles were always at play when things created change.
Why don't you give us really quickly the six principles?
Oh, dear God, you don't want me to do that. That will bore everyone.
No, just the snippets of it.
To people. Just touch on it, the real crux of the principles are first and foremost that we have had beaten out of us the thought that creating the communities we want is possible.
Yeah, I would absolutely right. It's
and
just not
so
possible.
So it really is the very first thing that we need to do to breathe in the fact that we can create the future that we want. And we do it all the time in small ways. Mm-hmm. Because we believe those small ways are possible, we can do the same thing with creating the future that we do want.
You know, though, people would say that the whole idea of social capital, I mean, not just social networks, but networks that are imbued with trust and responsibility and integration and influence, that, geez, that's a thing of the past. Those are just twittering away. No pun intended, but that could be one of the causes, is that everybody is wedded to their screens as opposed to talking to one another face-to-face.
Man, I don't see any of that.
Beautiful.
What I see is that growing more and more and more and more.
That people are reaching beyond as a result of that.
It's, social networking aside, there is a strong desire among people to connect. Mm-hmm. And so when you asked about the Pollyanna Principles, the first two of the principles really focus on where we aim, what we believe is possible, what we hold ourselves accountable for creating. Mm-hmm. And probably the most powerful of the principles is that we are creating the future with everything we do, whether we're conscious of that or not.
Not. Yeah.
So if I'm not conscious of it and I'm just setting about my day, I'm creating the future. Mm-hmm. And if I'm consciously creating the future, I'm still creating the future. And so the question becomes, what do we want to hold ourselves accountable for creating? And then the last four of the principles really talk to the means by which to do that, much of which is interconnectedness and building on strength, building on our core values, walking our talk, and building systems that lead us towards that. Because what we found in breaking things apart, strategic planning is just a system. Governance is just a
Absolutely.
System. And the way, you know, quote unquote, the way things are is just a system. And we forget that, you know, when we talk about fighting the system, we can't fight the system. Mm-hmm. We created the system.
To start with, exactly.
And if we created something, we can create something else.
Well, you've taken a pretty bold step here, or you're in the process of shifting your consulting work then from a for-profit to a not-for-profit. Although, yeah. we need to change the terminology. Of course, it's not a nonprofit, even though that's what it is from a tax standpoint, but more it's serving the community building process.
Yeah.
Was that a major epiphany, wake-up call?
It's just evolution.
How did it happen?
It's just
evolution.
Been evolution. This is the third organization we founded. We founded the Diaper Bank in Tucson. We founded the Diaper Bank in Phoenix. This is the third organization. We are serial social entrepreneurs,
right, like
and we
that.
Just happen to sort of have this company that lets us do that. The growth of creating the future is more than an organization. It really is a living laboratory.
Yeah, I like that.
It is a living laboratory slash becoming a movement towards really refocusing, leveraging, amplifying the desire in all of us to create healthy, vibrant communities and to make that practical and doable. And by being a living laboratory, we're able to be both a learning and teaching organization. We are able to be a demonstration project of what is possible. We are able to really change the conversation by conversations like the one I'm having with you, like conversations, the podcast that I do for the Chronicle of Philanthropy once a month, changing the conversation from what's wrong to what's possible.
What's possible, exactly. Can you cite some examples, some organizations that you're working with now to take them through those kind of steps or sectors?
We are no longer working with organizations.
Okay.
And it is really part of the joy of building Creating the Future. Creating the Future's programs all aim at teaching others what we've learned so that they can create change in their communities.
And so who would be the typical people that are being taught?
Anyone. What we have is a full spectrum of programs for consultants,
mm-hmm.
a full spectrum of programs for executive directors and social entrepreneurs. A full spectrum of programs is being developed right now for funders. A full spectrum of program for academics who teach nonprofit management in colleges. What we're really in the process of building right now is a full spectrum of programs that will meet folks where they are in their thinking and help them move forward to create more change. And so it is really joyful for me to honestly say we no longer are doing, quote, consulting to organizations, because we've so far trained 50 consultants around the world to do that work and get out into their communities. We sort of see it as the Johnny Appleseed effect.
Yeah, and when you say the word community then, what is that?
It is whatever geographic area people believe they want to create impact in. There are some organizations that their community that they want to impact is the whole world. There are some organizations that and they feel a sense of global community.
Yeah.
And you hear them talk about global community. There are some organizations, groups, individuals, efforts that see their community as the square block they live in.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
right.
That's where they want to impact. It's not for me to define what community is to the person that wants to create change.
But you would say probably now more than ever, though, that the term community is a much more has a possibility of being much more virtual and extended, as opposed to the smaller knit people you saw face to face than it was in the past.
Yes, and
okay,
because I have a colleague that always makes me chuckle when he says that, you know, humans are at our core animals, that at some point we need to sniff each other, that we can do a lot of work online, but at some point we need to come face to face with each other. And so what social media allows us to do is to blend the two. It allows us to extend our reach so that more people can become engaged. But at a point, folks come engaged, they want to be with each other. I mean, there's that whole sense of interconnectedness and interdependence. We are social beings.
Mm-hmm.
So social media allows us to extend our reach, but very quickly, I'm very active on Twitter. I'll give that as an example. I'm very active on Twitter. At some point, I will connect with somebody, and that will move to email. That will then move to phone.
Exactly.
That will eventually move to our meeting face-to-face. There is that progression. What social media allows us to do is to meet. We frequently talk about it as a big cocktail party. Mm-hmm. It allows you to meet, but eventually life is not the cocktail party. Life is what you do after the party.
Yeah, that's very well put. Your different work that you've done across the years, Hilde, these principles that you've come with, has it pretty much transcended any geographic distinctions or age distinctions or gender distinctions between
Absolutely.
The people?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Or is any one sector more than another more apt to pick up on this? For example, more humanitarian causes as opposed to environmental advocacy?
Yeah, I'll tell you, one of the most striking moments that happened perhaps 8-9 years ago, we were teaching a group of small arts organizations, And when I say small, the largest in the room had a $5,000 budget, and the others aspired to have a $5,000 budget. Mm-hmm. So tiny arts organizations. And we were focusing, as we do first, really tethering all of the work to the vision that we have for what's possible in our communities. What do we want our communities to be like because we're here?
Okay.
And that question can be asked of any organization, for-profit, quote, non-profit. It can be asked of any individual, quite honestly. What do I want the world to be like because I exist? And that question really is at the heart of so much of the pondering that humanity has done for millennia. And so we asked this question to start the session with these arts organizations, and we really had them delve into the leaders of these arts organizations. What could the community be like if you were 100% successful? And this one woman, she runs a dance organization. She eventually left the room sobbing. And I thought, oh goodness, okay, what have I done?
Yeah.
What have I done? And she came back into the room after she collected herself, and she said, no one has ever made it okay for me to talk about this.
Right.
No one has ever, I called my book The Pollyanna Principles because I figured if I'm going to be called a Pollyanna, I might as well own that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're so, modern culture puts us down for believing in what is possible, but the only thing that's ever been accomplished is by people who believe what's possible.
Absolutely. In fact, I have people that just say, Zara, you're far too positive. And I'm thinking, boy, is that a nice compliment.
Well, it's not a compliment. It is a sense of reality, because yeah. Reality is, you know, as you well know, reality is what we make it. If we aim for what we believe is possible, even if we fall short of it, we've probably gotten a heck of a lot further than if we decided nothing was possible.
Mm-hmm. And you find over the times that you've worked with organizations, of course, the key executive directors and their boards, that these kind of also the process you have evolved or the language you've put forth to see people actually now putting aside their personal differences and really rallying in a lot closer way and sustainable way.
Here's what we find. Conversations stay pretty much where we start them.
Mm-hmm.
And if we start the conversation with what's wrong and with the quote-unquote baggage, my favorite line is, you know, leave your baggage at the door. I wish somebody would explain to me how you do that. but what we find is that's all about where we start the conversation. When we open the conversation with what's wrong and we start the conversation with what's today, mm-hmm. we're all bringing our stuff into the room. When we start the conversation with what is the future we want to create and why are we here, people rally to that. They bring their best selves to that.
And they also bring
The baggage happens to be left at the door.
It does. Yeah, they dump it in the process. Yeah.
All on their own.
That whole prospect of being more appreciative in our inquiry, positive, future focus, but also I think people then have a tendency to really bring their authentic, complete selves, not just part of who they are.
Yeah.
And then also they tell their stories.
Exactly.
And it's in the stories where you suddenly can tease out all sorts of opportunities for organizations or for individuals. Mm-hmm. And see, by the way, that history will repeat itself. You've done it once before, you can do it again, even on a bigger play.
Well, the fun part in asking the questions and starting the conversation with what is the future we want to create, and moving from there to ask, and what is the path that brought you to want to create that?
Okay, that's
people
nice.
Do bring their authentic selves to that, absolutely.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I know you've got some new programs coming up. You're calling them flash classes. What's that all about?
Flash classes is we are very, very excited about this. We know that organizations need education. They need to know how to do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That they're all at different places in especially with the economy, being able to afford that or having the time to attend to that. And so the flash classes are going to be bite-sized, convenient, because they will be 30-minute audio classes by podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And folks will be able to listen in their car. They'll be able to bring that into their board meetings and have 30 minutes of their board meeting, just a quick focus on a bite-sized piece of practical, doable. We're starting with governance.
Right.
We're going to expand out from there. And when we talk about affordable, we want this subscription price to be under $10 a month.
Right.
So that a board for under $10 a month could get the education that they need. And so we are just so excited about.
And when's the first one launch?
We are hoping that by the end of, probably by about April 15th, we'll be up and running.
Oh, the monumental day of tax day. That sounds good.
What better time?
Exactly. And for listeners, if you're catching up with us, we've got Hildy Gottlieb here from Creating the Future. In fact, you can should look forward to tapping into that program or watch its evolution at www.creatingthefuture.org. Hildy, a personal question, if you don't mind my going there. Did you ever envision you'd be doing this kind of work?
Never.
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 I mean, your real estate development, I read the other things that you've done.
You know, it's interesting. I frequently talk about the fact that we never realize that we're on a path until we look behind us and see that there's a path behind us.
Yeah, that's right.
I can say that nothing in my life has ever felt as complete as this, that at every point in everything that I've done in my life, it felt like I was nurturing a part of myself. But this, on a personal level, is, you mentioned it as a calling before.
Yeah.
This really is a calling. This is, this brings, my whole being, and what I came to realize very, very quickly is that, none of us is here forever. The me that I am is really just the compendium of thousands of years of the me's that preceded me. Mm. And that really our highest potential is to bring out the highest potential in others. And once you start on that path, it's almost like a drug.
Yeah, and in fact, you can't turn around and you can't slow down.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Who have been the primary people that have influenced you in this direction?
Probably the most primary person is my daughter, who is now 25.
Okay.
I sort of think back and think that I was probably born 25 years ago when my baby was born, because you start all over again.
Isn't that, that's really true. And is she also in an advocacy social entrepreneur space?
I think she just lives it.
Lives it. Yeah, exactly. That would absolutely be right. What are your dreams then for creating the future?
That the way social change is done, the way people live their lives, that this just become the norm, not the exception.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And social change, such a powerful term, and one that is so desperately needed in times when we see so many things going sideways and upside down.
Yeah, but we also see things going really, really well.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And do you see that particularly as we interact with youth or other individuals that have kind of established a resiliency to try it again?
This is an amazing generation right now. Millennials are an amazing generation. Creating systems that allow them to sustain that. We could look back at the baby boomers and say that was pretty amazing. And
worked hard and kept our nose to the grindstone.
Right.
This group is doing it a lot smarter.
If they can sustain that, if we can create systems that allow them to sustain that through the various life cycles, through their having families, through their focusing inward, as baby boomers, we know from fact, mm-hmm. did, and can really sustain that, it's again, how do you bring systems to bear that allow that to be the norm rather than the exception?
Amen. I got it. Well, Hildy Gottlieb, thanks a lot for joining us. Creating the Future, please visit everyone, creatingthefuture.org or HILDYGOTTLIEB.com. And also her book we mentioned earlier, The Pollyanna Principles, Reinventing Nonprofit Organizations to Create the Future of Our World. Thanks a lot. And I'm going to subscribe to those flash classes and those podcasts. Thank you.
Thank you, Zara.
You bet. It's a pleasure.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it. Going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, 877-544-2580.